Legal Line with Bob Pittman and Ted Barr, sponsored by Modern Woodmen of America and Regional Director for Western Washington, Randy Verberg. The opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of this station. Here are your hosts, Bob and Ted.
And welcome to this week's edition of Legal Line. This is Bob Pittman. I'm here with my good friend Ted Barr, and we're going to be tackling your legal questions all hour. We try each week to demystify the law, translate the legalese, and hopefully point you in the right direction with regard to your legal problems. We sure try. We try to direct you into those right spots, right, Ted?
Well, you know, that's the idea, Bob. Nobody ever comes to a lawyer and says, here, let me give you a couple $1,000, see if you can get me convicted, you know, or see if you can give me some bad advice.
I'd like to lose a lot of money, you know.
So even though it's free on Legal Line, we still try to give you the best information that we can. And, you know, that brings up an interesting point, Bob, that I wanted to mention last week and forgot about it, and that's this. You know, I just don't know anybody, and I'm going to embarrass him a little bit here, and he's a modest man by nature, but I just don't know anybody that knows more about estate planning than Bob does. And in fact, Bob has a tremendous breadth of knowledge of the law. My knowledge of the law is pretty narrow. It's in the area that I practice in, primarily criminal law. Used to do some personal injury and some family law, but it's been a number of years. But beyond that, you know, Bob's the guy. But even Bob has his limitations in terms of depth. And so I just wanted
Hard to believe.
Looking at you, you know, the Einstein of the radio waves. But we have a panel of attorneys around town in various areas of the law, whether it's foreclosures, whether it's family law, whether it's medical malpractice, that are available to us.
Antitrust.
Yep. That were everything. Ted's law.
Really his favorite topic.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to ask him about something, ask him about antitrust, of course.
Yeah, sure. but anyway, if you want some really bad advice, call me on that. But no, here's the deal, is when you call in with your questions, you know, we're going to try to do our best to answer those questions. But if we think you need a little more information than we've been able to provide, or if you send us an email during the week, then we can contact our panel, get a little more in-depth information, and come back the following week or respond to your email and give you an answer.
That's true.
So, you know, we're going to be able to bring a lot of people in to this conversation as the weeks go by.
Well, you know, we're all going to learn, and that's the thing I love about Legal Line over the years. I mean, I learn every week, and I think it's true for you too, Ted. I don't mean to speak for you, but we really are. We're learning every week.
Good lawyers will tell you that what surprises them and interests them most in practicing law, even when they've been doing it a long time like Bob and I have, is that almost every day we learn something that we didn't know.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what we don't know.
No, you know? But that makes it fun, and I think you find lawyers who are way out on the age continuum still enjoying the practice of law because we do learn all the time. It kind of keeps us young, I guess. I don't know. Something.
Well,
at least I'd like to try to think that.
If not physically young, then mentally.
Well, mentally.
It's better
I
than
think.
Doing those math problems
on
the airplane,
true.
You know.
Well, you know, speaking of age, real quick, I'm going to divert just for a second just because we can do that. Mm-hmm. When you look at age, you know, you look at the there is a mandatory retirement age, you know, for like a Supreme Court justice. And I find that troublesome because, to me, when you're at that Supreme Court level, it's not the same thing as a trial court judge. It's like ruling every second, Ted with the motion, and he or she's got to give a ruling right then and there, mm-hmm. and who knows what it does. But with the Supreme Court, those folks get to hang out back there and deliberate and think about things. And I think as we age, I think we get better at deliberating. I mean, seriously.
Well, think about this. We have a mandatory retirement age for judges.
Right.
We do not have a mandatory retirement age for senators or the president.
That's true.
So, come on.
But I really think that's...
I mean, look at Ronald Reagan and Strom Thurmond. Those guys, you know, were going strong right up to the very end.
So. Well, and one thing, I mean, this is my own opinion, and of course these are our opinions, not necessarily anybody else's, but I think we're about to lose one of the best justices we've ever had in the state of Washington. That's Justice Gary Alexander. Mm-hmm. And we're about to lose him because of turning 75.
Yep, that's what it is for judges in
the
state.
I think it's a terrible loss, and I think that age was put in back, I think, in the 50s. an amendment to the Constitution. I just think it's awful.
Well, look at it this way, Bob. It's a good thing you're not a judge, because in another 6 months, you'd be out of work, pal.
Thanks a lot.
There's no mandatory retirement age on radio hosts.
This is true.
Right, we can keep this going for another 100 years.
I know. It's terrible, isn't it? All right.
You know, the other thing I wanted to mention is, you know, Bob and I are working on expanding our show.
Yeah.
And we're very close to bringing on another hour. And when we do that, part of the reason we want to do that is we want to bring in other attorneys who are specialized in certain areas.
And judges.
And judges and authors.
Right.
To really give you, our listening audience, kind of some variety and exposure to people other than just the two of us.
Right.
So keep us in mind and listen in the next couple of weeks, and we think we're going to have some interesting announcements. In addition to that, coming soon is our own website, our own email address, and our own Twitter address, which is going to make it a lot easier for you to communicate with us. For now, we're still kind of getting that up and running, but for now it's through Bob's email or my email address, and we're going to give those out.
Maybe think maybe we're borrowing other people's emails.
Yeah, that's right.
Could you loan us your email for a week? We got some questions coming in. You know,
no, we do have our own email and websites, but we're putting the Legal Line one back together since we've been retired for 4 or 5 years.
Well, let's mention, too, you can reach Ted at ted@tedcbar.com and Bob at BobPittman.com. So it's two T's for the Pittman and two R's for the bar.
But more importantly, if you'd like to reach us today, our number, and we're going to give this out several times during the hour, is 1-866-485-1590.
Right,
so if you have some legal questions, we're here for you.
Now let's do that again. So you can call with any legal question. Actually, any question. We'll tackle.
Even if it's illegal.
We'll even tackle the gardening questions.
No,
what the heck,
no,
you know?
No, we won't.
Oh, la, la. Let's get those gardening questions in. Anyway, 1-866-485-1590. So give us a call with those legal questions, and we'll tackle them today. Now, let's mention, we really only have one ground rule, and I just mentioned that because we, you know, our program is meant to help us all, but let's not pick on a particular person by name. So even if you've got a complaint about a lawyer, let's talk about the complaint. That's okay. That's fair game. But let's not mention the lawyer's name.
Right. Right. You know. Hey, let's get started this week by the with the joke of the week.
All right.
And we try to tell you a lawyer joke once a week that is somewhat self-depreciating because, you know, we're just like everybody else. So we have to be able to laugh at ourselves once in a while.
I was having a hard time this week after last week's because it was a little chilly a couple of days. I kept thinking, gee, I had my hands in my own pocket.
And maybe you shouldn't be doing that. That's
okay.
Right. So there's these three guys, and they're travelers. And one is an Indian from New Delhi, and one is a Israeli, and one is a lawyer. And they're traveling down the road, and the sun starts to set, and they happen to arrive, coincidentally, at the same farmhouse at the same time, just as the day is drawing to a close, and they need some place to eat and some place to spend the night. So they knock on the door, and the farmer comes to the door, and they explain to him we're three travelers, and, you know, this is what we need. And he says, well, come on in, fellas. He says, you know, I can feed you, no problem, but the farmhouse here is a little small, so one of you will have to sleep in the barn. And they say, okay, that's fine. So they sit down to this nice farm-style meal, and when they're done eating, the Indian from New Delhi says, well, I'll go out and sleep in the barn. So they all bed down for the night, and about 10 minutes later, there's a knock on the door, and the farmer gets up, and he goes to the door, and it's the Indian from New Delhi. And the farmer says, what's the matter? And the Indian says, well, there's a sacred cow in the barn, and it's morally offensive for me to sleep in the barn with a sacred cow. And so the farmer says, okay, come on in. So the Israeli guy says, I'll go out and sleep in the barn. So he goes out to the barn. Everybody goes back to sleep. About 10 minutes later, knock on the door. The farmer gets up, answers the door, and it's the Israeli, and he says, what's the matter? He says, well, there's a pig in the barn, and it's morally offensive for me to sleep in the barn with the pig. Okay, come on in, says the farmer. And the lawyer says, oh, for God's sake, I'll go out and sleep in the barn. So he goes out to the barn. Everybody beds down. About 10 minutes go by. Another knock on the door. Farmer gets up, answers the door. It's the cow and the pig.
Oh, no.
Okay. We take a lot of heat as lawyers, you know, but that just goes with the diploma, right?
Someone's calling in asking if the farmer let the cow and the pig in.
That's a story for another day.
Hey, let me mention that damages resulting from advice given on this program are strictly limited to what you paid for the advice. There's our disclaimer or limitation of damage clause attached to the program. You had to get up kind of close to see it, but that's what you saw.
Once again, our number is 1-866-485-1590. Now, here's the other thing we do on our show. We try to do a joke of the week, but also we have a best call of the week. So whoever calls in with the best legal question this week or has emailed it in to us during the week, we have a prize at the end of the show.
Yeah.
So this week, our sponsor for the prize is Daniel's Broiler.
Whoa, very nice.
And I want to give a few words to Daniel's. These are great people. I do a lot of business with them myself. And so, you know, you can never get a better endorsement than when you go yourself.
Yeah, and I've been there as well.
Frequent flyer at Daniel's. They have three locations, South Lake Union and Leschi, and then my personal favorite, because I'm in Bellevue, is Bellevue Place on the 21st floor with a spectacular view of Lake Washington in one direction and the mountains
in the other. If you can take your eyes off the steak that's in front of you.
That's right, and that is their specialty steaks. But the thing I wanted to mention is Thanksgiving. These guys are open on Thanksgiving, and it's a fantastic deal. They offer the traditional turkey dinner.
You know,
and I'm going to tell you about the rest of what they've got going.
I want to hear about the dressing.
I'm going to go get some right now.
Right here on Legal Line with Bob Pittman and Ted Barr.
We're taking your calls at 1-866-485-1590. More of Legal Line with Bob Pittman and Ted Barr coming up.
You've walked this path many times before. It's a chance to think, especially about your future. How will you turn your retirement dreams into reality? Will you have enough gold for your golden years? Your choices for building funds for retirement can be complicated. Fortunately, you have a friend in the community who can help you make the right decisions. That's your Modern Woodmen agent. Your agent is a skilled professional who will listen to your needs and desires and then work with you to create a plan that uses the right financial products to achieve your retirement goals. Build a lasting professional relationship with a trusted financial advisor.
Hi, I'm Randy Verberg, Western Washington's Regional Director for Modern Woodmen in Puyallup, Washington. Call me today at 253-770-6019.
Get in touch with your agent today. Modern Woodmen of America. Touching lives, securing futures.
Hi, I'm Brett Michaels for the American Diabetes Association. Diabetes is a constant battle. Testing, treating, fighting to live a normal life. I know. I've had diabetes since I was 6 years old. A lot of people don't think it's deadly, but diabetes kills more Americans each year than breast cancer and AIDS combined. It's been called a silent epidemic, and without your help, it will keep getting worse. Please join me in the movement to stop diabetes. Share your passion and your story. Get involved in local events like the Tour to Cure or the Step Out Walk. Learn how you can better manage this disease or reduce your odds of developing it. And give what you can to help us spread the word and fund programs like the Diabetes Camps for Kids and research to find a cure. Join the movement at StopDiabetes.com. Help us fight a deadly disease that shortens and burdens the lives of millions of Americans. Together, we can stop diabetes.
We now return to Legal Line with Bob Pittman and Ted Barr on Freedom 1590.
Well, this is Bob Pittman. I'm here with my good friend Ted Barr, and we're hanging out taking your general legal questions. What's the phone number again, Ted?
It's 1-866-485-1590.
I like it. All right, now I'm right in the middle of Thanksgiving dinner. I'm just, you know, ready to eat. What am I going to have?
All right, Daniel's. Okay, so here's the thing I wanted to mention.
I didn't know they had it, by the way.
They have, and they've done it for years. In fact, I've been there for Thanksgiving on a number of occasions, and it is fantastic.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that's great about it. In addition to the fact that it's just, you know, high-end Daniel's, high quality, it's reasonably priced, $50, which includes a four-course meal, includes the full turkey dinner, the dessert, everything. If for children.
Isn't it like $12 or something?
Yeah, $12 for children that are six to ten, and if they're under five, they eat for free. But here's the thing that's amazing. What's the biggest reason that people don't go out for dinner on Thanksgiving? Do you know what it is, Bob?
Oh, boy. Other than the fun of cooking it.
No, it's leftovers.
Oh, of course it is.
Because everybody likes leftovers to munch on, you know, the next day, watching the game and that type of thing.
Right.
And, you know, when you go out to, when you cook at home, you've got those. But when you go out to dinner at the restaurant, it's like, okay, now, you know, the next day. Here's what Daniel's does. You go to Daniel's, you have your dinner, your turkey dinner, four-course dinner, all of that. You tell the waiter at the end of dinner, we'd like some leftovers. They will bring you another turkey dinner, turkey, dressing, and potatoes to take home. If there's four people in your party, you get four dinners to take home.
Wow.
For no additional charge. So it's really like a two-for-one dinner deal.
That's terrific.
Now, they have non-turkey items that are on their menus, such as a herb-roasted prime rib, a maple-cured pork roast, salmon for the non-meat eaters, and some of their regular steaks. Those are available, but that there's no take-home on that. In other words, they brought in extra turkeys. But this is a fantastic deal.
Oh, so that's neat.
Anyway, they have three locations, Leschi and Bellevue and Bellevue Place and South Lake Union down there on Chandler's Cove.
Right.
And they're open from noon until 9 on Thanksgiving. But call early because they're filling up, and once they've booked, they're booked.
Sure.
So, but they're giving a $50 gift card this week to the caller who brings in the best legal question or has sent us the best legal question by email this week. And do we have any emails this week?
We do. We do indeed. Let's get right to them. We've got Liz, who's emailed in a question. She says, my ex has not paid my children's health insurance, and he's responsible for it on the court order. How do I handle the problem? What do you think, Ted?
You know, first of all, it's disappointing to hear that.
It is.
Because as a parent, I just don't know of many things that are more important than providing for our children's health care.
Right.
But here's the deal. First and foremost, putting the baggage aside from the divorce and the economics, number one, that child has got to have health protection. So
that's true.
If your child does not go out and get him or her a health insurance policy,
right?
Because you're going to get reimbursed for it. You're going to get reimbursed by your husband.
Now we're talking from a Washington State perspective, although many states will be similar.
Right, right, and that's true of all the advice we give. Right. We're Washington lawyers, full time practicing lawyers, and we give the Washington advice. But frequently there is a similarity of laws from state to state. But anyway, first and foremost, go out and get that health policy. Secondly, send your ex-husband a certified letter saying, look, I bought the policy, here's the premium, you reimburse me and pay next month's policy. Pay you, Liz, because then you know the policy stays in effect.
And that's because he was ordered to do it under the original court order.
Give him 30 days to pay up, and if he doesn't, you take him to court. Now, you may want to get a lawyer to do that, and, you know, judges take a very dim view on people ignoring the orders of the court, especially child support orders. So take him to court. The judge likely will find him in contempt. Not only will order him to provide that health insurance. Now, if he can provide health insurance like through his employer, and that's a more economically efficient way for your family to do it, that might be what the judge orders.
Sure.
But if not, what the judge might do is say, okay, Liz, you get the health insurance, but we're ordering your husband to reimburse you. The good thing about that is you can make sure it's adequate coverage. You can make sure that that health insurance is paid every month.
Right.
So the child isn't left exposed.
That's right.
My guess is that if you have to do this, that the judge will likely order your husband to also pay you attorney's fees.
That's a good point, because it's so darned expensive, you know, to get an attorney. It may be that an attorney would be willing to take that, knowing that it's likely they'll get reimbursed from the other party.
There are some attorneys that will do it that way. Now, let's just say that you don't want to get an attorney.
Or maybe you can't afford it at all.
Can't afford it, don't want to make it that acrimonious or whatever. There are agencies out there that can give you some help in a self-help type workshops. Eastside Legal Assistance Program, for example, over in Bellevue. And I know there's some others.
Well, there are. There's the Northwest Justice Project is kind of my all-time favorite. And you can find them at nwjustice.org. And you can route out to various other agencies, usually through one of the websites like Northwest Justice, too.
And I should have brought ELAP's phone number with me today, and I'll try to have that in the future.
If someone wants to email you, could they email you that question, Ted?
Sure.
And find out, so you can track Ted down at ted@tedcbarr.com.
Yeah, and then I can give you the link through to the USAID Legal Assistance Program. Now, here's the other thing.
Yes.
So ELAP, for example, has these self-help workshops that you go to. They explain to you how to do this.
Right.
And then they give you the forms for you to go in and do this yourself.
Okay.
So if you don't want to get the lawyer. And, you know, this is pretty simple, Liz. I got to tell you, you fill out the form, a motion to compel, and or a motion for, for the judgment to be enforced.
Sure.
Or for him to be found in contempt. ELAP can better inform you on that. And you just go in and say, it's pretty simple. Here's what you were ordered to do, you know, Mr. Liz, whoever it is. Did you do that?
Right.
No. All right. What did it cost you, Mrs. Liz, to do this? You get your judgment, and the judge says, don't do this again.
Right. Now, I wonder about the courthouse facilitators. I know King County has that. Some of the counties have a courthouse facilitator that could help as well, and those are usually located. I know King County's is right at the King County Courthouse in downtown Seattle. Beautiful, sunny downtown Seattle.
Yeah, I can't tell what county Liz is from her email at the area code I don't recognize, but all the counties, you know, have people there that can at least point you in the right direction.
Right.
So,
if a person is out of state, by the way, let's say, because I know we reach out quite a ways, especially through the website and so forth, there is help through the American Bar Association's website too. And if you have a question on that, let us know, and we can direct you to a pretty good spot to locate for an attorney referral through the ABA website.
Final comment on this, Bob, is that let's say that the husband doesn't show up or for the hearing, or even if he does and the judge orders him to pay, he doesn't do it.
Right.
Then she can get a judgment against the husband. That does a couple things. Number one, that judgment starts to collect interest at 12%.
Oh, good
point.
Now,
that's a pretty good return on your money these days. Given
you may want to invest in some of these days.
Yeah. And secondly is that judgment then sits on his record in this state, and if he wants to go out and refinance a house, buy a car, something like that, that's going to prove pretty problematic for
him. It is.
The other thing is sometimes when you get into these child support issues and derivatives, depending upon how the court treats this. On child support, this is true. I don't know for sure on the health insurance. That can hang you up with the Department of Licensing, where it can affect your ability to get your driver's license renewed if you have an outstanding child support obligation.
Good point.
So there is help for you, Liz, and that's how we suggest that you approach this.
Excellent. Very good.
Hey, Any other emails?
Actually, we have another one. And, you know, we might do. Let's get the question out. It's there's a lot to it, and we may carry that over depending on how long this goes. But we had an interesting question coming in from Heather. And she says, my six-year-old son will be flying to Seattle to visit his dad for a week, and whom he has not seen in 3 years. I mean, that's like all of his life, a six-year-old's life, conscious life. The concern I have is that I am not entirely sure he will put him back on the plane when the week is up. He pulled stuff the last time he saw him and not wanting to give him back until I went to court about it. Wow. Now he's in the military, and he'll be on leave here for a month, up here for a month. But he was adamant about getting my son an ID card, swearing up and down that he needed one to travel. Well, I checked on that, and he does not need one unless he is traveling internationally, which brings up a concern that maybe he will try to take him out of the country or even the state. I want to know what I can do to protect my son and not have to worry about his dad giving him back. I have the emails. We have communicated to each other, and I have the flight confirmation from the airline that he'll be flying on. Is that going to be enough for me to take action against him if he does not give him back? We have a parenting plan in place, and technically I'm supposed to have my son over Thanksgiving, and he's supposed to have him over Christmas, but seeing how it's been 3 years since he's seen him, and this is the first time he has asked to see him in the last 3 years, I did not mind switching holidays with him. Please help me with some answers if you can. Thoroughly confused and scared, Heather.
You know, one of the things that's interesting is it says that her six-year-old son will be flying to Seattle to visit his dad. I don't know where Heather is from, like if she's in another state that is picking up our broadcast, or if she's just like in Spokane or whatever.
Sure.
So that would be helpful because that would give us an idea as to where that parenting plan was ordered, because that's where the action would take place.
Sure. I mean, let's just assume Washington for now.
Right. But in my mind, first of all, nobody's more sympathetic to military and the demands that are made on them to be out of state, out of the country, and that than we are. We're very much aware of being from Seattle to Fort Lewis area and all that. But, you know, there's some red flags all over this email, Bob. One, he hasn't seen the child in 3 years. Two, he's asking for this ID travel situation, which is very problematic. And I think protecting the child is the most important thing. So we'll come back and talk about that right after the break.
This is critical stuff. So stay tuned, and we'll continue with more Bob and Ted.
Legal Line with Bob Pittman and Ted Barr resumes after this.
Whoa, nice shot. They teach you that move in college?
No, Dad. You taught me that move.
Speaking of moves, any thoughts on your future after college?
I want to do something that makes an impact, you know? I can make a difference. You taught me that, too.
Maybe I'm the smart one.
Ever wonder if you're making a difference? At Modern Woodmen of America, we care about the same things you do. For over 125 years, we've offered financial products and member benefits that can enrich people's lives. Modern Woodmen is a fraternal financial organization, which means we give our members a sense of belonging. We believe in working together for a better community and a better future. Isn't it time you belong to something that can make an impact?
Hi, I'm Randy Verberg, Western Washington's Regional Director for Modern Woodmen in Puyallup, Washington. Call me today at 253-770-6019.
Modern Woodmen of America.
Modern Woodmen, touching lives, securing futures.
Legal Line with Bob Pittman and Ted Barr resumes on Freedom 1590. Here once again are Bob and Ted.
And we continue with this week's edition of Legal Line. This is Bob Pittman hanging out here with my friend Ted Barr. We're going to take that tackle that question we just started up. But we're also want to remind you, we are going to talk about, start our discussion about DUI. That is something that is, if it doesn't scare you, it should scare you. Everybody, unless you just never drink and never take any kind of even prescription drugs or anything, unless you can really say that, you probably are subject to issues related to DUI. And if nothing else, if you're just out there driving, other people are drinking and under the influence. And so we want to talk about that, and we will start that discussion. That's one that, you know, especially as we move into the holidays, I'll give you my quick rule on that. And that is, it's a simple one, is just go to zero, I call it. And that is, if you have any drink at all, one glass of wine, one beer, one mixed drink, anything at all, just don't drive. I mean, it sounds simple, but it works. It's in terms of your own getting into the DUI issue. You just don't do it, and then you're at zero, and you're not going to run into issues on that. So think about that. We're going to talk about the issues. We're going to talk about the rules that apply to the DUI issue, too. Ted is, of course, an expert. Now, we can't really say expert in the Bar Association or specialist, but Ted knows all kinds of stuff about DUI. So we're gonna talk about that when we continue after this one question that we had in. So let's get back to that question, Ted. You know, the travel thing has got to be scary, and I know especially the concern over international travel with a child. And, you know, I remember when one of our sons would go up to Canada to play hockey, that Diane had to have a note from me as the spouse, even though we're not divorced, in order to cross the border and show that to the folks on the Canadian border regarding bringing a child, a minor, across the border.
Well, that's right, Bob. And, you know, the thing is that, especially in divorced couples, they should have a letter that the non-traveling parent, in this case, you know, Heather would give, that's got to be notarized, that says that her ex-husband is entitled to have the child from this date to this date.
Right.
To travel to this area.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what he has to have when he travels with that child. And even state to state, not just internationally.
Oh, good point.
So if they're going to go to California or something, and some airlines might not let them on unless
right.
they have that letter.
Right.
But what I started to say before the break is there's some red flags here.
Yeah.
You know, that where he hasn't been in the child's life for 3 years, now all of a sudden he wants this ID card that I'm not familiar with that. She's checked it out. She hasn't heard anything about that from the military. And he's talking about possibly international travel. So I think, does she have enough information in the emails and the custody agreement to get the child back is was her question.
Right, right.
If the husband, who's done it before, doesn't return
sure.
the child. And the answer to that is yes. But trying to get a child back if they're out of the country is way more problematic.
Boy, is it ever. We've seen over the past couple of years, television shows about kidnapping, essentially, by one parent of the child and taking them off to countries like Japan and I think
Middle East,
yeah. other places
where some of the laws are very favorable to the male.
Right.
Yeah. And that's a real nightmare. So my suggestion is this. First of all, to answer your question, yes, I think you've got enough ammunition to get the child back if the child is in the States and through a local judge. And one of the penalties for that is, if it's custodial interference, is that the court can stop or terminate that non-custodial parent's interaction with the child.
Yeah, and you would certainly think there'd be a change to the parenting plan at that point.
Absolutely, court can impose. But here's the other thing, is how does Heather protect the child, and especially on this international deal?
Yeah.
So this is my thought. First of all, I think she should give him a letter. First of all, I don't think he should be taking the child out of the country, especially given his lack of involvement to
right.
the state and his involvement in the military and travel and all that. Secondly, is give him a letter that restricts him to a certain number of days, whatever their agreement is, and to go to a certain state. Maybe he's going to take the child to California to go to Disneyland
sure.
or something like that.
Sure.
But secondly is, if she's at all concerned about him taking the child out of the country, you know, I believe in the pragmatic approach. And an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and it's hard to close the door after the cow's already out
right.
and all that stuff. And so my approach would be, give me your passport.
Oh, good idea.
You know, give me your passport,
right.
Mr. Dad, and
good idea.
Then when you bring the child back, he'll give you your passport back
right.
and make sure she doesn't give him a passport for the child.
Right.
Because then at least she knows they're staying within the United States.
That's a good idea.
At least until they try this out a few times and the guy proves that he's going to be more involved in the child's life.
Right.
And he's not going to do what he did before and not bring the child back.
That's right. Now, the other thing that comes to my mind is, since he is in the military, that the commanding officer of the, wherever he's, let's say he's at Fort Lewis, or I guess it's, well, I'll call Fort Lewis for a second, Joint Base Lewis McChord.
Uh-huh.
I would think the commanding officer would be able to help, too, if there is an issue. And the other thing I could think of is maybe calling the JAG office.
Right, which is the military office of the,
yeah.
or the legal office of the military.
Right. I mean,
and
I
say,
like,
what's up with this ID card, or
yeah.
I have some concerns. Do you guys assist in that way?
Right.
Anyway?
No, I like the idea that there is in the military, because I think there can be some assistance from the military folks. In that regard, too.
Yeah, and there may be a legitimate travel issue here. It's like, for example, if he's in the military, you know, he may be able to get a week at the Haleakala
sure.
in Honolulu,
right.
Which is where the military stay very, very
oh,
inexpensively.
Very good.
But that's got to be worked out and tested
yep.
a little bit.
Well, I think so. Hey, before we talk about DUI, which we are going to, we got to get to that this week, because that's, I just want to get into it. We've got to talk about that, about a bunch of different issues on that. But let's go right to the phones and head over to Bremerton and talk to Gary. Hi, Gary. You're on Legal Line with Bob Pittman and Ted Barr.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
I've got a question. Well, let me preface it by, how serious do either of you believe gender bias is justified either by the state or the federal government?
Well, that's a tough question without, I mean, some facts around it, I think. I don't know.
That's more of a philosophical question, I think, Gary, than a legal question.
Well, isn't there laws against gender bias? I mean, we see it all the time, laws against biases of sexual bias.
Well, yeah, we talk about protected classes, if you will, and not discriminating. Now, like, for instance, just a silly example, you are free to discriminate against lawyers because they're lawyers, as long as it's not, I mean, that sounds silly, but I mean, you could, Ted. I mean, you could say, you know what, I don't want to rent to a lawyer. Now, if there's a hidden reason, if you're not renting to this lawyer because they are African-American or from, you know, a certain religious group or something, then that's different.
Well, I but mean it, gender bias.
Yeah, but if it's true, so it has to be a protected class. Now, if you say, I'm not going to rent my apartment to a woman,
right,
then I think you're in trouble, don't you think, Ted?
Absolutely. And do you, are you talking in kind of in the divorce arena here, Gary, or what?
No, no, I'm not, because the other day I went into a government building, federal government building. And not only did I see a large poster with blatantly gender biased on it, but handouts.
Hmm.
And it was for men only who must register between the ages of 18 and 25.
Oh, the draft.
The draft.
The draft.
Now, it's been my experience because I used to transport a lot of military. We are in a military area.
Yeah.
And these guys go out. Women now have almost total access to not only jobs, legally or other, but to different branches of government, including the submarines now. And they have all these advantages, if that's what you want to term it. I mean, people sign up for the Army, but yet they do not have to sign up. This should either say all people between 18 and 25, or it should be dropped.
Well, I think you can make an argument that if there's going to be a draft, it should be everybody. And there is an argument. Someone was telling me the other day, we should draft older people first.
Well, I just also wonder what kind of, you know, we're taxpayers. We pay a lot of money. I took a number of women every week, every month, up to Bangor to be mustered out because they were pregnant. Now, the men don't have that advantage to get out of the military, but I imagine it costs several hundreds of thousands of dollars to train, transport, equip every fighting personnel. But yet, the ladies seem to have this advantage if they want to get out for one reason or another, and then they got some guy paying child support, and they go and get their job, and they get out of the military, and they got the kid, but yet they don't have to register for the draft. Seems pretty imbalanced there to me. A number of guys mentioned it that were in the military, that in fact, some guys are getting out of the military because of it. So I'm just wondering.
You know, I'm not sure that I would be against having women register for the draft just like men, I think. I think that's something that that really, if people would write to their member of Congress, too, I think would be a good idea to say, you know what, the draft should cover everybody.
Are you between the age of 18 to 25, Gary?
No,
just mentally.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, if you are, you may have standing to bring a suit.
Okay.
But if you aren't, you don't.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate that very much, Gary. You know, and when we get back from this next break, I'm going to pin you down, Ted. We're going to talk DUI because this is a serious time. Every time during the year, obviously, is a serious time, and there are all kinds of issues related to driving under the influence that don't relate to the holidays. But I know as we approach, I mean, we're fast approaching Thanksgiving. I mean, I'm ready to go to Daniel's for that Thanksgiving dinner.
I'm going to go there as soon as we're done here.
I think maybe we'll just head over there and see if they won't, you know, cook us up something here.
That's right. Well, I want to give our number, though, one more time to people so that if they want to call in after the break, they can. 1-866-485-1590.
Got a question or comment? Call into the show at 1-866-485-1590. Bob Pittman and Ted Barr will be right back with more Legal Line, so don't go away. Now back to Legal Line with Bob Pittman and Ted Barr here on Freedom 1590.
All right, Ted, we're going to have to get a special law clerk hat to give Chris because he's become a law clerk now. And I mean that in a really good way. He has reminded us that there was a Supreme Court case in 1981 basically said that it's okay to exclude women from the draft. And our Supreme Court in the Rostker versus Goldberg case, 1981, said it does not violate due process clause of the Constitution. The Supreme Court has spoken, And it took our new law clerk, Chris, to tell us and remind us.
We're going to have to start paying him double, sound engineer and law clerk.
I love it. I really thank you very much. Well, thanks to Chris for that help on that. All right, Ted, DUI. What does it stand for? I mean, number one, I always remember from years ago, DWI, driving while intoxicated, is my recollection from years ago.
Number of years ago, it changed from DWI, driving while intoxicated, which strictly related to alcohol, to DUI, driving under the influence, to incorporate drugs.
Okay.
And a lot of people think you can only get a DUI if you're driving under the influence of recreational drugs.
Yeah, like so you're not smoking marijuana and
cocaine,
you're not,
things like that, you know. But that isn't true. It can be prescription of drugs. And, in fact, you know, a lot of prescriptions say on them, do not operate machinery.
You know, that's right.
Or do not take this in conjunction with alcohol.
Right.
Because it can mess you up in terms of your ability to drive your car. So that is how it shifted from DUI or DWI to DUI.
So why is it such a big deal, DUI?
Well, you know, a couple things. Number one, it's just incredible that even with all of the publicity and the penalties that keep going up and up all the time, you know that the first time offense minimum penalty for a DUI, which is a misdemeanor, a gross misdemeanor, is more severe than it is for 12 different Class C felonies.
You're kidding.
And last year in the state of Washington alone, 44,000 people were arrested for DUI.
Wait a minute. I stopped for 44,000, not 4,400.
44,000.
44,000 arrests for DUI in Washington state last year.
Yeah, I think it was actually 2009.
Wow.
I don't know if I've seen the numbers on 2010, but that's a huge number. The other thing is this. Nationally, on average, there's about 50,000 people that are killed in what is described as alcohol-related accidents, traffic accidents.
Right.
That is a staggering number, Bob. When you think of during the entire Vietnam conflict, war, whatever you want to call it, we lost a little over 52,000 soldiers. So the point of this is we lose as many people on the nation's highways every year due to DUI or alcohol-related, drug-related incidents
every year
during the entire 10 years of the Vietnam War, which is an event designed to kill people.
Right. Now, have you been to the wall back in Washington, D.C.?
I have not.
I have. And I've walked it and looked at the names. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And you're saying more people or almost
nearly as
many,
many
people every year.
Right.
I mean, talk about the walls we would have.
Now, you know, there is a fine line here. Like, for example, when somebody is in an accident and there's alcohol involved, they assume it's a DUI. But oftentimes fatigue is the factor.
Right.
And the problem is they can't measure for fatigue. But let's circle back and talk about that in a minute.
Well, let's take a call. TJ and Kent. TJ, you're on Legal Line with Bob Pittman and Ted Barr.
Bob, Ted, love your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make a little thing here. If
somebody
decides they want to go out for a burger and a beer or maybe some suds down at the bar, maybe they should ride their bicycle. According to the state of Washington Supreme Court, DUI laws do not apply to a bicycle.
Well, that's interesting.
There's actually, ordinance, if you Google, you know, state of Washington, intoxicated bicyclist, there is a separate law that says that if a police officer stops you, I believe they have to take you to a safe place, impound your bicycle till you can pick it up in the morning.
Wow. I haven't seen the bicycle law, have you, Ted? I haven't run across that.
Get on that intertubes there. And,
well, you know, I'm picturing is using a longboard maybe, you know,
and
riding that.
Wrong. You know, I'm not a big fan of drunk driving, but if you're going to ride your bike, you're probably just going to hurt yourself by tipping over.
Well, and that goes to keeping, you know, don't drive if you've been drinking at all.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
And bicycles are hard, so that might even slow that down a bit, too. So, anyways, love your show, guys. Hey,
appreciate the call. Thank you.
You know, you can get a DUI while driving a golf cart.
Really?
Yeah, I had
the golf course.
I had a guy. Well, you know, that's an interesting point. Because in the old days, you could only get a DUI. Or a DWI in these days, if you were driving on a public highway or street.
Right.
That's not true anymore. Anytime you're operating a motor vehicle, you are subject to those laws.
Now, what does operating a motor vehicle mean? Just sitting behind the wheel?
Well, that's a very interesting question. You know, for the DUI, you have to actually be driving. That's one of the elements.
Okay.
But if you're just sitting in the car,
right,
under the influence, the car running, you can be charged with physical control, for which the penalties are the same as they are in a DUI. The only difference is that with physical control, you have an absolute defense, and that is that if you have safely pulled your vehicle off the roadway before being pursued by an officer,
right,
you cannot be convicted of physical control.
Okay.
And what that law is designed to do is, let's say you're in downtown Seattle, you live on the east side, and you've had a couple of drinks, and you think you're fine, and you're driving home, and wow, all of a sudden it hits you.
You realize you're
that
not.
You're not good driving well, and you are under the influence. It's to encourage people to pull over.
Oh, I like that.
Get off the road. So, like, let's say they pull over into a parking lot, something like that, call their spouse, call their friend to come pick them up, and they're sitting there in the car. They're safely off the roadway.
Right.
So they have an absolute defense if they're charged with physical control.
So chances are you're going to be able to argue through that and not have a charge.
Yeah, or the prosecutor might not charge you to begin with.
Right.
You know, it's a discretionary call. But if you've just pulled over and you're still on the roadway, and even
right,
though your car isn't actually moving, that doesn't apply. And even if you've turned the car off, if you're still on the traveled portion of the roadway, you are potentially a hazard to the public.
Is the shoulder okay if you're all the way on the shoulder?
You know,
or do you get into arguments
about
that?
That's where judges make the call,
okay,
because I've had some judges rule you're off the traveled portion of the roadway, and so you are okay.
Wow.
And others say, oh, no, there's the potential for that car to be struck as somebody is driving
let
by.
Let me ask you a quick question, because we're, you know, as we move through, if you're at the restaurant or something and you get in your car, and you get in your car, and you haven't started the car at all, you're just sitting there, and you're realizing that you're in trouble, is it safe to sit in that car and just, and let's say you call somebody, but you, I mean, you have the key, you haven't started the car, is that safe?
Well, in terms of whether you can be charged with physical control
yeah,
or not, it's better if you're not running the car.
Okay.
The keys are not in the ignition,
right,
and you're just, because otherwise, if the car is running and capable of being put into gear,
right, then it's okay.
Then the risk
okay
factor
all right
is
well
there.
We're going to continue DUI next week.
Right. Next week we're going to talk about, first of all, what makes DUIs different from other crimes and what's the best way to avoid getting a DUI to
yeah
begin with.
I want to talk about what happens when you get stopped.
We can do that too. How
yep
do you maximize yep or minimize your exposure once you get pulled over?
Hey, let's
what should you do before you get in the car yeah and then after you get in the car?
Let's thank Modern Woodman for sure. And those folks are at all of the PLU home games with a booth. Go out and check them out. And if you're looking for work, they're actually a good choice to talk to about employment with Modern Woodman.
And we do want to thank them for sponsoring the show each week. I also want to thank Daniels for putting up the $50 gift card
yeah
for the best call of the week. And, Bob, my vote is for Heather. I thought that was just an excellent question about the whole travel
thing.
I'm with you. Also, if the boy does end up spending the time with the father at Thanksgiving,
she can go have a nice dinner.
That's right.
I like it. Hey, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back same time, same place next Saturday. Soon we'll be announcing our new webpage.
Bob's website, bobfitman.com. That's Bob Fitman with two T's, .com. If you'd like to contact Bob, his email is bob@bobfitman.com. If you'd like to contact Ted, his email is ted@tedcbar. That's with two R's, .com. The opinions expressed on the preceding program were not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of this station. Join us again next Saturday morning at 10 for more Legal Line with Bob Fitman and Ted Barr. Sponsored by Modern Woodmen of America and Regional Director for Western Washington, Randy Verberg, here on Freedom 1590.